to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and it is my honor to have in the studio with me the Executive Director of Helping Kids Succeed, Jane Neumiller-Bustad.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
And I am also honored and humbled to have in the studio with me the local representative for APALD, an organization dedicated to providing information and resources for drug overdoses, fentanyl, and opioids, specifically Bridget Noring. Thank you for coming in today, Bridget.
Thank you for having me.
And also I have Matt Hedrick, who is the vice president of the board of United Way of Hastings, also serves as an officer on the Hastings Police Department. Good to have you today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you all here. We are talking today a little bit about the opioid epidemic, we're going to call it. Mm-hmm. The organization APALD, or I call it APALD, it's kind of seems the way it comes around to me, is working diligently and very hard to bring awareness of opioid poisoning to the people in Hastings, fentanyl in specific, I believe, because mm-hmm. that's the connecting element for the things that we talk about. And I'd like to start with you, Jane. Give me a little bit of a background on the issue, please.
Sure. Well, Executive Director Mary Mellick and I have worked for a number of years around the issues of alcohol, mental health, and we had decided to apply for a CDC grant earlier this year. Wanted to focus on a couple of substances as the grant required. And right as we were finishing that, a lot of typing, a lot of writing, we had the opportunity to meet Bridget Noring, who you'll hear from in a minute. And talking with Bridget and learning more about opioids and fentanyl, particularly fentanyl poisoning, we shifted the focus of the grant. So we decided to go more in the direction of education and awareness around opioid use and fentanyl poisonings. And since then, we collaborated with Bridget, the City of Hastings, and Confluence Development. We partnered to help put on an event on August 30th. For International Overdose Awareness Day. We had speakers. Bridget was one of them. And we had easily 150 people turn out. It was really amazing to mm-hmm. see many people who would not normally come to a community event, I think. This really captured their attention. This is impacting thousands and thousands of families. The data is staggering. In 2020, America lost over 93,000 people to opioid overdoses and fentanyl poisonings. That was a 30% increase over 2019. We're on track to do another 30% increase this year, which is horrifying. In Minnesota, we had over 1,000 deaths in the same year. In Dakota County, we had 56 deaths. And when Mary and I heard those statistics, we were just, we have to do something.
Something right. has to be done.
Right? Absolutely. Yep. These are young people who are buying these substances. And they don't know what they're buying,
right.
and education is an enormous component, and so that's really what that's become a real part of our mission now, is to educate on this.
And Bridget, I know that people in the community are probably aware of your involvement in this movement, but I'd like to get a little background from you anyway, just about how you became involved, and the elements of it leading up for you.
So for us, our family, we didn't know what fentanyl was until April 4th, 2020, when my youngest son picked the lock on my oldest son, Devin Noring's bedroom door, and discovered Devin dead.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the worst day of my life. I hate it. Mm-hmm. We didn't know. We didn't understand what led up to it, what caused it. He was perfectly healthy the night before. He was laughing, you know, joking.
It's really, really rough.
What yeah. happened, mm-hmm. you know? And it would be, you know, right away, Snapchat started blowing up, you know, as word traveled through the town. The kids started pointing fingers at known alleged drug dealers, saying Devin got a pill from so-and-so. And it's scary. These are peers literally selling to peers. Mm-hmm. So there's that safety net, like, they wouldn't do this to me. And so that's the first time we had heard of fentanyl. And it would be a couple weeks later before the Hennepin County chief medical examiner would call us to confirm Devin had 100% pure fentanyl in his system.
That's scary. First of all, it's scary. Mm-hmm. And then what was it that brought you to the APOL group? Were you looking for other different types of groups, or did that one stand out? Tell me about how you became involved with them.
So I'm actually part of a lot of groups. APOL is just one of them. Drug-induced homicide is another. There's so many. Dr. Laura Berman now has one, Parents for Safer Children. She's we went on the Dr. Phil show with her this last winter after she lost her son, Sammy, to a counterfeit pill that was pure fentanyl. We went into those groups for support, education, because we didn't know. We didn't know what it was. We didn't, you know. And it was really hard because, you know, we have to respect law enforcement. So we don't get very much information as they build the case.
That's got to be a really difficult part, just waiting for information, trying to understand, trying to comprehend the mechanics of what went on.
But I will say, Hastings PD, Detective Young, we couldn't have asked for better. You know, we hear some of these horror stories from some people where law enforcement just, it's another junkie, and then they write them off and they don't even investigate their death. So for us, we got that investigation. HPD, they treated our family with so much dignity and respect, to my son, and that's something that I hold dear.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with the fact that we're on the border of a major metropolitan area, but I believe because of the size and the tight-knittedness, if you will, of this community, it encourages, well, that's not the right word either, it makes the police department investigative units a little bit more involved and gives them a better chance to come to some kind of resolution for the investigation itself, but also for the family. Matt, tell me a little bit about the trend in fentanyl and what you're seeing by way of the police department. How is it getting here? How is it getting distributed? And things like that.
Well, it's very scary, you know, as Bridget was sharing, you know, a lot of times people think of a small community like Hastings, you know, think, well, these are issues that go on in much larger agencies, much larger cities, but it is here, and we need to obviously get the word out. And that's one of the things that I've been so grateful for, the involvement of United Way. There's a platform there to be able to spread the word. But it is really shocking. And as Jane was saying, those numbers are only increasing. The incredible availability, how easy it is for people to get their hands on this. And many times, as tragically Bridget knows so personally well, a lot of times people don't know what they're getting, and they're thinking that they're purchasing one kind of pill, and it's been tainted with something completely different than what they were expecting.
And I would say the supply lines are morphing incredibly with social media. It used to be way back in the day that you would call your dealer, your supplier, whatever, but now they just, you Snapchat something and you have how many different sources of supply that respond back, hey, I've got it, what you're looking for.
It is scary. You know, I'm a father of two high school kids who are very active on social media. And it's not just simply, unfortunately, people going out and looking for it. Sometimes they're targeted and people will approach them and offer something. And it might seem somewhat benign, but again, a lot of times these kids don't know what they're getting into. They don't know a lot of times the danger that they're putting themselves in. And so it's, frankly, listening to Bridget's story has prompted a lot of conversations in our home as well. And so, you know, it's one thing as a police officer, you know, you respond to these calls and, you know, they're very tragic. We're in the midst of the immediate, just needing to try and stabilize a patient and move them on to greater care. But for me, having heard the story, it makes it so much more personal.
Oh, sure.
To try and look at the bigger picture. And, you know, in Hastings, in our police department, we're part of the Dakota County Drug Task Force, which is an interagency. I think every agency, as well as Savage from Scott County, has a representative on that department as well. And they collaborate together. And it's important, you know, as a department our size, there's only so many resources that we can bring. And, mm-hmm. and but to collaborate with other agents from throughout Dakota County, because we recognize sometimes those borders get crossed, you know, somebody that we're dealing with in our city, Rosemount might be dealing with, or Farmington, or sure. Dakota County Sheriff's Office. So it is such an important thing to be able to collaborate with other agencies. And even now, more and more, we're beginning to see throughout the metro, you know, one of the things that's been instituted in the last couple of years is the OD map information, where each agency is providing statistics and information, and it's helping us to develop trends and understand some of the bigger picture of what's going on in the metro area. Mm-hmm. Because it isn't a lot of times just confined to our community.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And one aspect of it also, I'm going to make a little bit of a segue here, and whoever wants to address this is welcome to. But traditionally, when we talk about these kinds of incidents or these kinds of I'll call it an epidemic.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We term it in that the victim died of an overdose.
Right.
And APALD and other organizations are working to, it sounds weird to say it this way, but change the narrative.
Yes.
Right.
And that has a negative connotation, and I apologize for that. But we're trying to change the awareness that it's not so much an overdose death as it is a homicide by opioid poisoning.
Correct.
Yes. And I'll let Bridget talk to that, but I just wanted to say for United Way, that was really, in talking with Bridget, I think the thing that flipped the switch for us is, yes, there's a narrative around overdoses, mm-hmm. but it's more complex than that. Mm-hmm. And many of these people that have died have not known what they're purchasing.
Right.
And so it is, we just had a meeting yesterday that we hosted at our office with representatives from Dakota County Drug Task Force, from the police department, from the Dakota County Crisis Response, the school district. I mean, we are working hard to do more educational activities mm-hmm. to right. raise awareness.
Yep.
But that's really one of the things that Bridget brought to us is this increasing awareness. This literally could impact any family out there.
Absolutely.
And I know we hear that all the time, and we go, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this, when you really dig into it, this literally could happen to anybody. And it's not just teens that are taking these substances either.
No, they get a lot of the focus because they're the young generation, and mm-hmm. we tend to, I don't want to say idolize, but we tend to showcase them because they are potential.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So when something like this happens, we tend to find the young kids that are doing it. But I'm sure there's however many numbers of people our age mm-hmm. that may get a hold of a laced product.
Well, and younger, you know, one of the tragic things that I see in my job, I spent the majority of a night at the emergency room for St. Paul Children's Hospital with a very young child who had come across something and had somehow been exposed to it and experienced an overdose encounter, a poisoning encounter. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, you know, that child was able to come through that situation okay, but it was a very scary situation that affects, yes, teens and older, but also the access can affect age, young yeah. children as well.
Sure. And as far as from a law enforcement or a first responder standpoint, the real danger is the speed with which fentanyl acts in the body. Mm-hmm. You can, if you can administer the antidote of Narcan, mm-hmm. it has a really good response rate, but they generally can't get to that person in time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Or you have, in my case with Devin, he was with somebody, the person knew that he was in need of medical attention, and instead of, you know, calling for help or yelling for us for help, he chose to lock Devin's bedroom door and walked right out our door and left. So that is really hard for us.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. knowing that you potentially could have saved my son.
Sure.
But chose to walk out.
Well, and it's an important thing for people to understand that state of Minnesota passed a law a few years ago, Good Samaritan Law.
The Good Samaritan Law,
which was already in place but broadened to address the issues of you know, drug-related situations, where if an individual is with someone who experiences an overdose or a poisoning incident, that they can contact law enforcement, can contact EMS, and will be exempt from any prosecution that would result from, you know, being in possession or use of controlled substances. And, you know, there's a few stipulations in the law. You know, you need to remain present, you need to provide your information, but that you would be exempt from any prosecution. And, you know, in some situations, somebody would be very scared to call police because of the fear of that. Sure. But to understand that there is protection in the law, wisely so, I think I'm really grateful that they included that that situation in that statute to provide that timely assistance, because it is so critical. The time can be so short.
We are going to spend another segment here talking about some of the events and some of the ways that people can get involved with opioid awareness and helping spread that word. But we're almost out of time at this point. So there is an event coming up soon that I would like to cover in this segment, just to kind of tie it all together. Bridget, tell me about what you got coming up.
So October 16th, Senator Carla Bingham and Congresswoman Angie Craig will be coming back to Hastings, 1 o'clock, outside City Hall. Bring a chair. If it rains, bring a mask, because I guess you have to wear masks inside. But it's going to be open mic forum for the community to voice their concerns about how fentanyl has impacted them, what they'd like to see happen, and really give them our voice and get feedback from them.
All right. And what time was that again?
1 o'clock on October 16th.
1 o'clock on October 16th.
And we'll have a link to that mic on our Facebook page this afternoon.
All right. And that's the United Way of Hastings Facebook page. Also, we have just about a minute left. Contact information for people who have questions. Obviously, if there's an emergency, 911.
Right.
Just don't hesitate. 911. The response time for that is really short. But if people need support or have questions, how can they get in touch with that network?
Well, certainly could call our office. Our number is 651-438-3337. We don't provide direct service through our office, but I'm always happy when we have callers to direct them to the appropriate agency. Typically, we would refer someone in need of maybe food assistance, would go to Hastings Family Service. If they're having a crisis, we would refer them to Dakota County Crisis Response.
All right.
Yeah. Mike, you mentioned 911, obviously. Yep. I just want to just briefly mention that, the Hastings Police Department, we have a anonymous tip line that people can provide information to as well.
Sure.
And they can text that information to 847-411. And that information can be
847-411, anonymous tip line. I would like to thank my special guests for this half hour, Matt Hedrick with the Hastings Police Department, who is the Vice President of the Board of United Way of Hastings, Bridget Noring, who is working very, very diligently to increase awareness for opioid poisoning in this town, and of course, Jane Neumiller-Bustad with United Way of Hastings. I'd like to thank the three of you for coming in today.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Community In-Depth on KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7.